Pardon the interruption, but I'm Mike Wilbon. Tony's out today, but I know someone who can save the show.
And his name's not Pablo. Ooh. No sorry, Bob. I saw the two of you hanging out. I'm active on social media.
Man, that sounds like beef.
Two of you
shot
going to Grant Park.
Pablo.
Cubs games together. Oh, my God.
I promise
hanging
you.
Hanging out with Oprah.
There's no Cubs game. I can't make many promises.
Go to the Michael Jordan statue. Well, the two of you together.
The Jordan statue, the Ernie Banks statue, and the Harry Carey statue. Those are must.
Michael Jordan's from Brooklyn, by the way, just so
must
we're clear.
Must visits. I
know. He's a New Yorker.
What do you make? What was he wearing right there?
Well, we gave him.
Welcome
he was our gift.
To PTI. Kornheiser bailed early this week, so here to pick up the slack is our great friend, Mr. Frank Isola.
Wow. It was louder for Pablo. To be fair, it was louder for him.
Man, what do you think, you Ronaldo or somebody? Let's start today with another soccer great potentially switching teams. 2 weeks ago, it was Lionel Messi joining PSG. And today, Cristiano Ronaldo is reportedly close to joining Man City. Ronaldo has been disenchanted with Juventus of late, and the team is said to be keen to move the 36-year-old off of its payroll. Frank, what would that mean for Ronaldo, Man City, and the Premier League?
This is so great. Every time you and I are together, we're doing soccer stories. It's
we
tremendous.
Are.
Well, Man City wanted to get Harry Kane. He's going to stay at Tottenham, which is a London team in the Premier League. But you mentioned Messi and PSG, Ronaldo and Man City. Both of those clubs have won every trophy there is to win domestically. They want to win Champions League. Champions League, we all know what it is. It's a top couple of teams in every league in Europe. They get together. It goes from August until May. PSG doesn't win it. Man City has never won it. They made it to the finals. It's a last-ditch effort because you mentioned his age. He's 36. He still has something left in the tank. They'll win the Premier League or they'll be in contention, but Michael, don't mistake it. This is about winning the Champions League at the end of May, which this year the final is in Russia. That's what they're trying to do.
And you know what's interesting? 36 years old, you start to say, you know, you judge it by American sports, even though this is not American sports. And you say 36 years old, and what is he, LeBron? Well, yeah. I mean, did he have 29 goals in 34 games last year? I mean, it's important to look at production, right? Not just the age. But can I divert a little bit to ask you something? And look, I have become fascinated in the last 10 years and really the last five with international football because I went to World Cup in Russia and I've gone to see a Premier League game.
How can you not like it?
I admit to you, Frank, I know you always threatened me. You said you're going to like this if you let yourself. And I have let myself, and I do. But there is something I don't understand with aging stars. And I know they're stars still, but they are aging. Isn't Mbappe better than these guys now?
Yes, he is.
Okay.
He is. But and they're still great players, though, Mike. They're still difference makers on teams. Absolutely.
I guess they are because Messi also had, what, 30-plus goals and about the same number of games. I understand. It's just seismic. It is amazing to me now as I just read every day about the fees, about the money involved.
It's amazing.
And how all they want to do is have a sort of like American football where they can have a cap, a hard cap that's wired.
Yeah.
And yet American sports, would they take the money? Would they do this the same way? Or would the Rockets say if they let James Harden go, we'd rather have the $131 million.
That's why a lot of the teams try to build up players so they could sell them off. A couple of things. This is the equivalent in the same summer of LeBron James and Kevin Durant leaving via free agents.
Yes.
That's one thing. But you mentioned great players. PSG has Neymar, Mbappe, and Messi. Man City could be getting Ronaldo with Kevin De Bruyne. You
Man
can
City.
Make a case that's the top five players in the world on just two teams. And guess what? The Champions League draw came out today. PSG is going to play Man City, so they'll play twice in the group.
It's
the
great.
Top two teams do advance, so we could be seeing a lot of Messi and Ronaldo. Could be fun.
Give me a ticket. I'm ready to go.
All right. Over here at stateside, Shohei Ohtani led off today's game against the Orioles with his 41st home run, but it was a struggle for him last night as the Angels ace gave up four earned runs over five innings, and the Orioles snapped their 19-game losing streak. Mike, what's the bigger deal, that the Orioles finally won or that Ohtani didn't?
Well, everything with Ohtani is big news. I mean, everything with Shohei is big news, and it should be. Because if he ain't the best player in all of Major League Baseball, he's one of two or three.
Yep.
So, it's big news. But the bigger deal is the Orioles winning a game finally. I watched Brandon Hyde's face last night post-game. I mean, you may have seen this, yep. Frank. It looked like he was going to cry. And I understand this. I was a relieved. Young sports writer, and I was around for Cal Ripken Sr. being fired when the Orioles were historically bad. This Orioles team, it ain't even historic. It didn't reach that point. That Orioles team wasn't. Frank Robinson came in, and I was around that a lot. And it shaped the way I thought about losing and how difficult it is for proud, great, elite athletes and coaches and managers to lose and what it feels like. And I don't make fun of it because I was there in the trenches for that. And so I think it's the Orioles actually winning, and I'm glad they did to get out from under this burden.
Yeah, you know, when you're in a division, you know, you think about it. You have Tampa, you got the Yankees, the Red Sox, and Toronto's a very good team. Someone is going to lose a lot of games because you play each other so much. But 19 in a row, come on now. You would think at some point you would win one. And you mentioned when you covered it, we all remember 88 when they started out 0-21. And after 18 losses, you had Billy Ripken was on the cover of Sports Illustrated. And for a great city like Baltimore, a great baseball town, football town, they love that team there. It's amazing what's happened to them. But last night for Ohtani, think about it. His first pitch, Cedric Mullins hits it out of the park. First pitch of the game. So here's Ohtani, gives up three home runs,
and gives
strikes
three,
out three times. But after all was said and done, he left with the lead. And
then Baltimore
came back and
won.
He
left with the lead. But of course, we didn't say this, I don't think, actually, factually. Baltimore not only won last night, but they won again today, 13-1.
Watch out.
And Shohei hits a home run, and that's the only run they get. So good for the Orioles.
I'm happy
good
too.
For them. I don't even like the Orioles. I live 40 miles the other way. I don't even care about the Orioles. Frank Robinson, I cared about. Cal Ripken Jr. Cam Newton returned to the Patriots practice after being sidelined for 5 days due to a breach in COVID protocol. Mac Jones appeared to thrive in yesterday's session against the Giants, leading many to believe the rookie had pulled ahead in the quarterback derby. But Newton took the first team reps today. Frank, what do you make of that?
Well, I think Bill Belichick, deep down, he wants Cam Newton to start. He wants the job to be his, and if he gets hurt, or if he's not playing well, they'll eventually go to Mac Jones. He's obviously the future. But I'm going to lay this one up for you because I think what happens in these practices, everyone's writing about how he played in practice. We know what Cam Newton is. Mac Jones, we really don't know that well how good he is.
Right.
But when you have reporters there tweeting out every single play, it's kind of the era that we live in. Maybe this is why it's good they don't let you in NBA practices anymore. Because we'd be tweeting everything out. And I think this is what's happening. Bill Belichick knows. He's going to start the guy who he believes right now gives his team the best chance to win. And I think he knows who that is. And I think he knows that it's Cam Newton, knowing at some point he'll probably make a switch this season.
Frank, I'm glad you said this. This play-by-play, snap-by-snap, chronicling of everything a quarterback does. I've seen some of these tweets that say he threw two, you know, wounded ducks at the end of practice. I just want to smack somebody. This is not what we were meant to do. We were meant to see narratives. We, media, you and I, still thinking of ourselves as sports writers, even though we just yap and think we know it all. The chronicling is supposed to be the bigger picture. And that's not what I'm seeing. So, yes, I'm taking young sports writers to task. You telling me what's happening snap by snap isn't worth a damn. Listen to Bill Belichick.
Yeah.
He is going to make this determination. If you want to read his Facebook, reading the tea leaves, I hate this. I can't listen to any of the football coverage. It is meant to be local obsession. Yes, I care about Justin Fields snap by snap. I don't care about Mac Jones. I want to know who's going to start for them in 2 weeks, but don't tell me you're not advancing the knowledge of anything.
But
it's just a burden.
But I think it's a big deal in New England because obviously they're still looking for the replacement for Tom Brady. They know that it's eventually going to be Jones, and they hope it's him for a long time. But I'll say this, and I was following it on Twitter today. So the Giant writers, they're all doing the same for Saquon Barkley because he's coming back from that devastating leg injury.
Understandably,
so they were talking about some great run that he had. I'm sure that Saquon Barkley's had great runs. He's an unbelievable player, but we need to see it in the games, not just practice.
Can you imagine if you and I had been standing in a corner tweeting out from Pat Riley's practice?
I know.
What would have happened to either one of us? And justifiably, by the way.
Derek Harper's vomiting in the corner. So is Anthony Mason from running too much. All right, let's move to the impressive collection of basketball talent that Penny Hardaway is assembling down at Memphis. 6'9" forward Imani Bates is the latest commitment, spurning Michigan State, that is, Oregon in the G League. He joins fellow top prospect Jalen Duren and a slew of highly ranked teammates at Hardaway's NBA-focused program. All right, Mike, Penny's team, they've yet to make the NCAA tournament, but would you consider what he's doing in terms of recruiting a success?
I guess, for 40 years I've done this and I never paid attention to recruiting. It's not that I didn't pay attention if Patrick Ewing signed with Georgetown, but the pursuit of these kids and who gets signed, when they play, you know what was more important than Patrick Ewing? Maybe not more important. It was more important to me than Patrick Ewing signing and saying, I'm taking my talents to Georgetown. When he got to the Final Four as a freshman and played in the final game against North Carolina, that was more important. So when Penny gets him there, and by the way, I know Penny Hardaway. I sort of root for Penny Hardaway. I think what he's doing there in his hometown is a great thing. I know the amount of local attention and regional attention that he and that program bring. When they start to play and they won the NIT, they're moving up already. Yeah. When they get to the tournament, then I'll be excited, not about the recruiting class.
Yeah. All right, so John Calipari embraces one and done in Kentucky. Everybody says, oh, boy, how shame on you for doing that. Then Duke started doing it. And one of the most popular teams in college basketball the last 20 years with Zion Williamson, Cam Reddish, R.J. Barrett, they lost in the Elite Eight. So they didn't even get to a Final Four. It's hard to do it with first-year players. But Dan Wetzel of Yahoo had a great point. He said Memphis isn't trying to get a prospect to the NBA, just trying to do that. They're trying to bring the NBA to the prospect. And here's what he meant. They play in an NBA arena, obviously where the Grizzlies play.
Yes, they do.
It's a big-time program down there. They sell out, and then with the name, image, and likeness. So here's a player in Bates that could have gone to the G League and made money. He's going to go to Memphis, you know, local
advertising.
And maybe advertise
make it. More money.
Exactly.
He'll make more.
And we also left this out. Larry Brown is an assistant coach. Larry is still coaching basketball. He's doing it as an assistant, and they have Rasheed Wallace on that staff. So if you're a young kid, Penny Hardaway is saying, you want to get to the NBA, look at me, look at my staff, look where we play, you can make money. This is where you want to be.
Frank, you want to get to the NBA, look at my staff, and remember, check out the clips from Tuscaloosa, son.
Yep.
You can make more money here than you can make in the G League.
Yeah, you're right. You're right.
All reality.
Yep.
I guess we got to start paying more attention to recruiting. Let's take a break. We're coming up, everyone. Slurping the Yankees these days. But aren't the Rays just as impressive?
And what's the word for what Gavin Weir is doing to batters at the Little League World Series? This kid is killing it.
Yeah,
he should have
a
name, image, and likeness. He might make some money.
In the Little League.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus. Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com. Vivid Seats wants to get you to the games you love this spring. Experience every pitch, assist, and game-winning shot live and in person. And the best part? Each transaction is a step toward a free 11th ticket with Vivid Seats rewards. Score unbeatable perks like free tickets, surprise seat upgrades, and annual birthday deals. As the official ticketing partner of ESPN, Vivid Seats is offering you $20 off your first $200 ticket purchase with code PTI. That's code PTI. Visit VividSeats.com or download the app today. Vivid Seats. Experience it live.
Time to play Fill in the Blank with Fill in Frank. Let's get the first one from the producer over the loudspeaker.
The Yankees are getting all the attention, but the Rays have been blank.
The Rays, Frank, have been better. I mean, first of all, they're leading by, what, four and a half games over the Yanks, as hot as the Yankees have been. Tampa has stayed consistently hot. And I like the fact that the ERAs are about the same. Tampa 3.67, the Yankees 3.61. But Tampa is doing this, as always, Frank, on just a tighter budget. Yep. $70 million payroll, $203 million payroll for the Yankees, so nearly 3-1. And I'm not a big fan of run differential usually, but the Yankees are plus 48, Tampa's plus 155, which suggests just day-after-day beatdowns on the part of Tampa versus whoever they're playing. Tampa's been better.
It's amazing. The Yanks have won 11 in a row. They're still 4.5 back. I'm going to say relentless, because here's the thing about Tampa Bay. They have won 39 of their 79 wins have come when they've been behind. They have scored a total of 253 runs after the seventh inning. Last night, Francisco Mejia, he hits a three-run home run in the ninth to win the game. This team keeps fighting all the way to the end. And what I've always loved about it is that Tampa is the Yankees' home away from home. That's spring training. That's where George Steinbrenner had lived all those years. And it's always like a little rivalry. And they're doing it, like you said, on a much tighter budget.
I don't know if the Yankees are going to catch them for that division lead.
No, wild card, though.
What's next?
Gavin Weir's pitching in the Little League World Series has been blank.
You know, Frank, I'm reluctant to talk about little leaguers because I think so much is just based on how big and strong you are at 12 years old versus, you know, another kid at 12 who didn't have his growth spurt until 15. But you look at this kid, you look at the form and you look at the delivery and you look at the movement of pitches. He's got four no-hitters. He's only given up one hit to 132 batters.
Amazing.
Which makes him Koufaxian. I mean, it's Sandy Koufax, the lefty, of course. I'm pretty sure Sandy Koufax had four no-hitters in the majors. But I'm hesitant. I was 5'2" at 12 years old. I grew 10 inches the next summer. Every kid can't help it.
Yeah.
It's still amazing what he's doing. And if he keeps growing, God help us, Koufaxian.
Yeah, I'm going to say Rushmorean because, as you know, South Dakota, Mount Rushmore. You know, Chicago has the Mount Rushmore. You, Jordan, I think Trubisky and Jerry Springer on it. Think about all the great little leaguers. Mone Davis, Cody Bellinger was a terrific one. Lloyd McClendon, Chris Drury.
He's putting
himself in that category with the way that he's pitched. Think about it. You mentioned it. 132 batters face. He struck at 114 and four no-hitters going back to the regionals. He's been absolutely lights out.
Unhittable.
And I know you don't like it that people are comparing him to Chris Sale. A little side-by-side, they show
emotion. Don't like when people put too much pressure on these kids at hello.
He's handled it well, though.
12. He has handled it well. Good for him.
Yeah.
Good for his parents, I bet, as well.
Yep.
That's it. We're taking one last break. Still to come, Miguel Sano hits an unforgettable home run out of Fenway Park.
Sano, don't you know. And the Dodgers pull out an epic win in San Diego. Ended at 3:59 East Coast time in the morning.
I was done. I signed off about 1:20 cents.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Time to get happy, people. Happy 32nd birthday, James Harden. One of three giant stars on the Nets and the only one without a ring. But the beard does have a new watch that he showed off on Instagram today. A gift from former teammate Russell Westbrook, who's now one-third of the Lakers' big three. We'll find out which one of those trios is better this season. Though Harden recently told Sports Illustrated, quote, "At full strength, nobody can beat us. I'll leave it at that," close quote.
You know, I tend to agree with him. Remember, when he got traded to the Nets, a little out of shape, had that hamstring injury, that impacted him. Lakers or Brooklyn, which one has a better chance of winning?
I don't know, but they both got great chances of winning, but both of them ain't reaching the finals.
If they're not healthy, I don't think anybody's going
to
beat them.
The NBA's making a little turn. Both those teams are not getting to the finals.
Wow.
Winning, maybe.
Heard it here first.
Happy anniversary, Chris Drury. On this day, 32 years ago, Drury led Trumbull, Connecticut to the Little League World Series Championship over Taiwan, pitching a complete game five-hitter and driving in two runs. That same year, Frankie also won the National Pee Wee Hockey Championship. He later won the Hobey Baker Award at Boston University, a Stanley Cup with the Avalanche, two silver medals with Team USA, and was recently promoted to GM and president of the New York Rangers. So for all you kids out there, including the one living in my house, who thinks the path to success is playing just one sport, think again. Chris Drury, kids. Chris Drury, pay attention.
It's hard to believe that was 32 years ago. How about that for a sports resume, though, for Chris Drury? That's pretty good. Remember, Cal Ripken always used to say, yes, I was great at baseball, but I played all the other sports growing up, and he felt like it helped him in baseball.
Steph Curry did it. LeBron did it. John Elway did it. The greats, they played everything.
That's right.
Happy trails to Fenway Park for Miguel Sano's home run last night. The third inning solo shot cleared the Green Monster close to center field. StatCast estimated that it traveled 495 feet, the longest home run in the bigs this season. Sano said he'd been concerned earlier in the day because one of his batting practice home runs hit a young boy in the head. He gave the child a signed bat and jersey and promised he'd deliver a hit. And then he did deliver and pointed to the kid as he crossed home plate in live time. That was Ruthian and a great moment for him.
Yeah, that's a great story. What do we got? Bob Ryan and an MIT professor out there with a tape measure. They know that it's 495. Come on, Mike. How do they know that?
Close
enough. 500. Not 490.
Not Josh Gibson. No more 750 estimations. No more of that stuff.
All right.
No mistakes today. We're running out of show. Let's get to the big finish. The Titans placed Ryan Tannehill on the COVID list. He'll be out until he's symptom-free and has two negative tests. Your thoughts?
Yeah, this is big for Tennessee. Nine players they have right now, nine players and coaches currently on the COVID list.
Wow, that's a lot.
By the way, this was a great night in baseball last night. The Dodgers beat the Padres in 16 innings. Is that a big deal?
It was a big deal. We got Scherzer versus Darvish, by the way, coming up. But I conked out at 1:15 Central Time, and the game went at least another hour.
It was
five
hours and 49 minutes.
Yeah,
the game. It was a Yankees Red Sox regular season game, nine inning.
That's no longer a rivalry for this season. The Dodgers have now owned it.
That's right.
The Padres are just hanging on. Mets fans chanted for the firing of manager Luis Rojas last night. Is that justified?
I'll tell you what, they have had some brutal losses. The owner Steve Cohen, remember last week, tweeting about the team. He's going
to
be in some trouble because there's been a major collapse. All right, Brooks Koepka, Bryson DeChambeau promised Ryder Cup captain Steve Stricker that their feud will not be an issue for, during the competition. Do you believe that?
Yeah, I don't believe they want to look like morons when they're representing their country. I don't believe they'll do that. You can have this beef at home domestically. It's fine. You're not going to carry it internationally. The MLS All-Stars beat the Liga MX All-Stars in penalties last night. You impressed by that, Frank?
Yes. Matt Turner, who played for the U.S. in the Gold Cup, went to Fairfield University. How about that? Pretty good. We're out of time. Thanks for watching. I'm Frank Isola.
I'm Mike Wilbon. Same time tomorrow, Knuckleheads. You can get the podcast on the app or Apple Podcasts. And now,
495 feet exactly.